Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Old friend, who looks much younger than I do, and one of the absolute best in the business, and that is Mark Fowler, Arizona Republic. Mark, it is so great to have you on the show. Thanks for your time.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be here, and it's so great to reconnect.
Yeah, it is great. Mark and I go back, I don't know, 43, 44 years?
That's about right.
Yeah, something like that. And he was great then. He's even better now. 20 years now at the Arizona Republic. So I'm going to assume, as well-connected as you are, you're taken aback by the news, because I think we all were. Like, really? So what was the reaction there when this happened?
Well, you're right. It was a bolt from the blue, and nobody saw this coming. The reaction in Arizona was stunned disbelief when the Los Angeles schools announcement came down the road. And for a while, it was sort of like nothing was happening. Nobody was saying anything. It was like people were checking to make sure this was real, like they may have dropped their wallet someplace. And, no, that can't be right. Can't be right. And then the dawn hit. Oh, yes. Not only is this serious, but this is the beginning of, I don't want to call it Armageddon, but, you know, we both remember when college sports, particularly football, went through this a couple of decades ago, and the shuffling destroyed the Big Eight as we know it, et cetera, et cetera. And here we go again. And I think the reality started to sink in, you know, a couple hours after the news broke, I think.
So what now? It's how do you react to this? So at the Arizona schools, Arizona and Arizona State, what, if anything, have they done in the past week?
Well, all they have done officially is issue a statement from the athletic director about how fully committed they still are to the Pac-12, and how they're going to continue to work closely with the remaining conference members to figure out what's the best interest for their student athletes and so forth. They are in the contract negotiations with television, as pretty much every conference is, either this year, next year, or thereabouts. And their deal with Fox and ESPN expires in 24. So the timing for all of this probably is ideal, just in terms of how much money is sitting out there. And that's the biggest nut that they have to crack. And that's why the LA schools left, is because the Big Ten will pay them twice as much, probably even more, once the new deal is negotiated with the Big Ten than what they can make with the Pac-12. The Pac-12 has been in disarray, to be kind, for years now, and did not have good leadership and certainly did not have forward thinking in their strategy.
Which brings us to Larry Scott, the former commissioner. It is now, I think, an understanding. He started the Pac-12 network. That has not gone well. It's not even in the same realm as BTN is. Mark, supposedly ESPN offered to take over the Pac-12 network in exchange for an extension of the Pac-12 contract, and Scott said no. What, you know, A, is that true? And B, what has that led in terms of to the problems they have today?
Well, I don't know that that's true. I have no information about that. If that is true, that was a big misstep, obviously, especially when you start talking about this, and nobody seems to know what it was, this alliance between the Big Ten, Pac-12, and the ACC, which is irrelevant, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that if it's true or not, it doesn't matter, because it's indicative of all the other missteps, from moving the Pac-12 headquarters into this really expensive property in downtown San Francisco, which I'm sure you know is the most expensive city on the West Coast or thereabouts, to the current situation of none of the Pac-12 schools, really, except maybe Oregon, and the conference as a whole, have no idea what to do with NIL. You've got, you know, Alabama leading the way, as they do in all things, to what's going on conference by conference, where they are really, you know, kind of circling the wagons and making payments to athletes up and down the roster of all, as many sports as you can name. And the Pac-12, they're kind of twiddling their thumbs. And I just think of Phil Knight up there in Oregon looking at, you know, Rome burning and saying, we got to get the heck out of here because nobody knows what they're doing out here.
Yeah, Phil Knight, who was obviously the largest owner at Oregon and unbeknownst to a lot of people is one of the largest, if not the largest, athletic donor at Stanford. It has to be wondering. But now let's get to as what I refer to now when these things happen, like Texas and Oklahoma last year. Everybody was rumored to go everywhere, so I call it the silly season. So now, let's get to this. It's now a question of survival. Going from the WAC to the Pac-10, or the Pac-8 at the time, was critical for Arizona and Arizona State. Now they're sitting there, and there have been rumors about the Big 12. How do you see it?
What we're hearing off the record is that that's not anywhere close to not only a done deal, but where they want to go, even though it makes sense up and down, you know, your pro and con list, right? It's much more pro than con. I think they like a lot of what the Pac-12 is supposed to stand for, things like what we call the Olympic sports, you know, the non-revenue sports, you know, not football, not men's basketball, essentially. They like that the Pac-12, and, you know, they have that ridiculous title, the Conference of Champions. Mm-hmm. But there is truth to that. They win a lot of championships. Arizona State's best sports right now are things like golf and triathlon and, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And Arizona, besides their men's basketball program, you know, they were in the College World Series with softball and so forth. Stanford was the model for that. And Arizona State, whose president has Stanford ties and whose athletic director has Stanford ties, would love to be Stanford as a public university. And so that is a big attraction to them still to be able to do that. And I think they're afraid, and this is just me speculating, but this is what we're hearing, just kind of whispers, is that, yes, basketball in the Big 12 could be a great conference. If you add Arizona to Baylor and Kansas and, you know, Iowa State, you get Houston and Cincinnati coming on board pretty soon. That's a heck of a conference for basketball, men and women. Mm-hmm. But Olympic sports, the Big 12 is not all that for those so-called minor sports. And they've got schools that don't offer some of the same sports that the Pac-12 schools or the Arizona schools do. So, you have to swallow hard and say, is this a football move, a football basketball move? Are you okay with extended travel? Are you okay with losing those rivals that they've built up over the past almost 45 years? Do you really want your, pick a team, your track and field team to be going to, I don't even know what the farthest
is. West Virginia.
12 school. There you go.
West Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I hate to say this. Well, actually, I don't hate to say it because it's kind of been obvious to me for a long time. Football just needs to break apart, not be an NCAA thing, run its own world, and let somebody, the NCAA or smart people, which is kind of mutually exclusive half the time, run the rest of college sports. Football has to be separate. There's no other way. I've read stories recently talking about how the SEC could break away tomorrow and probably, you know, rival the NFL in the South.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it would do exactly. I mean, you know, the NFL has expanded into the South over decades. I mean, why was it that the Atlanta Falcons had the exact same color scheme as the University of Georgia? I mean, when they first started, you and I both remember that. They had the exact same colors because they needed to. They needed to somehow get people down there interested in pro football. So now let's go the other route. Any word on the Pac-12 remaining 12 by doing what the Big 12 did and bringing two schools in, even though they won't have the impact of USC and UCLA?
Yes. The question is who, and, you know, San Diego State has been kicked around a little bit. are bandied about, and you know, they aren't any more attractive, all respect to them. They're not any more attractive today than they were 5 years ago when this was, you know, kind of bubbled up. There's a handful of schools like that. None of them are going to move the needle. You know, that's the biggest problem the Pac-12 has now, is that even as good as Oregon is and as a brand name as they are, they have no media market in Oregon, none. And so I don't know how they move the needle either. So that's what everybody thinks, they're the next one out, maybe even to the Big Ten or someplace. I just don't know that they add that much other than, you know, we mentioned Phil Knight's money. So the answer to the question is, how does the Pac-12 doesn't want to all of a sudden become, just a way station for, you know, let's just grab some schools so we can keep the 12 or maybe go to 14 teams. I think they have to be concerned about not being a Power 5 conference anymore. And frankly, I don't know what a Power 5 conference is going to mean 3 years from now, right? I mean, you're going to have two super conferences, and you're going to have some semblance of the Big 12. And what happens to the ACC? Is Clemson and Notre Dame, to me, are the two big shits still out there.
Right.
We talked about Notre Dame and the Big Ten for, what, half a century. But I see Clemson and Florida State as possibles for, a monster, even more than it is, SEC. I think Notre Dame will then eventually they're going to have to make the deal. I mean, I don't see any way around it. When all that happens, the ACC is in the same boat the Pac-12 is in right now, and who knows where the Big 12 is. If I'm making the decision for Arizona and Arizona State, I go to the Big 12 tomorrow.
You would? You go?
I would.
Because you feel like the Pac 12, 10, whatever it is at this hour, is a sinking ship?
I do. We haven't had enough time with the new commissioner to know, you know, if he can not only put out brush fires, but get past this and grow. But the rivalries can be built with the Texas schools and the other schools in the Midwest. That shouldn't take too long. And the travel will be bad. It won't be as bad as Rutgers going to, you know, L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you would fly from Phoenix to Morgantown.
I think you go to Pittsburgh. and to be honest with you, Pittsburgh's limiting flights too. I mean, you actually have to make a couple stops.
I know. I have to. I do get back there occasionally. I have family still in Pittsburgh, and always challenging.
Yeah, yep. It is challenging. What about Colorado? Had been a part of the Big 12, then went to the Pac-12. Utah is sitting there. BYU is going to the Big 12. What about those two schools?
I love them both in the Big 12. You just said it. Colorado has those roots. Unfortunately, some of the schools they had rivalries with are no longer associated with that conference.
Right, Nebraska.
But, yeah, particularly, right. Yeah. And Utah is sort of this sleeping giant. And both of them have one thing in common. They're in fairly significant cities in the West. You know, it's not Eugene, Oregon. You know, it's not Pullman, Washington. It's Denver and Salt Lake City. And, you know, that's attractive. There's no two ways around it. And Colorado and Utah produce plenty of athletes. So from a recruiting standpoint, that's a coup, I think. And Arizona, too. Arizona, a lot of people probably don't know a lot about Arizona, but we are producing a lot of blue-chip football players, particularly, especially quarterbacks.
Yes.
It has been a big thing lately.
Yes, Arizona has been doing a lot of high school athletes and, you know, football players that can play.
Yes.
No question. So Arizona and Arizona State, what happened with Arizona State football with Herm Edwards, and then conversely, what happened with Richardson and Sean Miller at Arizona? How tough an athletic situation is it when you consider to be programs that you need to be good have been going through the troubles they have been going through in the state?
Right. Well, we'll start with Arizona basketball first, because they got away with how can I put this? I was going to say a slap on the wrist, but not, that's not really what I mean. What they did was they got out in front as quickly as they possibly could.
They did.
You know, they made Sean Miller go away, or somehow, some way he goes away. And then they made a brilliant hire, you know,
with Tommy Lloyd,
getting the Gonzaga assistant. Right.
Yep.
And then they started recruiting internationally, and they turned it 180 degrees in 1 year.
Yes.
And they were one of the best teams in the country all year, and, you know, kind of stumbled towards the end, but that's okay. And they're the most important college program in this state, that men's basketball program. There's no two ways around that. The most success, the most eyeballs, all of it. So that makes them more attractive again. And if anything does come down, everybody who was associated with it is gone, you know, if there's further NCAA penalties. As far as Arizona State football is concerned, they still haven't had the final NCAA ruling on this accusation that they improperly contacted recruits during a COVID blackout period in 2020. And so ASU has tried to get out in front of that as well. I think it's six assistant coaches that were implicated, either officially or unofficially, are gone now. This hasn't touched Herm Edwards yet. It hasn't touched his bosses yet. I don't know that he knew, but I don't know how he couldn't have known, and probably should have, right? He's the boss. But so right now, Arizona State hasn't signed any really good recruits. I forget the number of freshmen that they have coming in that are signed. It's like five. Oh. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's a terribly low number. Now, they're doing they have a lot of transfer. The portal has changed the game, of course, as you know. And so they're relying on that heavily. But who goes to Arizona State? Now it's a two-strike thing, right? You've got this sword hanging over you for the NCAA decision, and maybe Herm survives, maybe he doesn't. But now the whole, what conference are you going to be playing in 3 years from now if you're an incoming freshman? I don't know. This is a very strange market in Phoenix. You know, Tempe is next door to Phoenix, where ASU was located. And it's a transient city. It's very much like Florida. Lots of retirees, lots of people come and go. It grows in leaps and bounds. People come here like I did and bring their allegiances with them. And it's a hard sell to get them to, you know, commit fully to the, I'll call them the Arizona schools or teams. And, you know, and the state is split in half between those two, Arizona and Arizona State. So there's no one thing for everybody to rally around. That's not unusual. I get that.
Yeah.
But so I don't know how attractive either one of them is, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Pac-12, you want to keep the Phoenix market. Tucson's a good secondary market. All right. I think that's fair. And if you're the Big 12, you'd love to get the Phoenix market and Tucson as a secondary market. So I think those are the chips they have to play, right? Mark, how do you think it turns out? And it's a pure guess. How do you think it turns out?
I think that, if nothing else, the president of the university, Michael Crow, is pragmatic as much as he is a person who likes to look at the future and shape it as much as he can. And he will recognize, as I think you put it, a sinking ship as early as anyone. And I don't know how much influence he will have in the short term, but I think ultimately they have to leave the Pac-12 to stay relevant. If they want to compete, and one of my columnists wrote this a few weeks ago, even before this all happened, if they want to compete at the highest level, they have to go all in. They have to figure out NIL. They have to spend a lot more money than they're spending. And the only way they're going to be able to do that is in a conference that still has a heartbeat in the Power Five world and the New Year's Six bowls. They don't not want to become, you know, TCU or Boise State, you know.
Been far too long, far too long. Great respect for all the time, as you know, and great respect for your work now, as always, my friend. Thanks so much for the time. We will talk again as this saga plays out.
This is awesome, and I look forward to it, Steve.